Good to see each one of you tonight. I just want to challenge you. A little exhortation tonight. Here's the title of the message, John. Preacher, what's wrong with me? That's the title. Preacher, what's wrong with me? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. Let's stand. Let's go to verse 14. Philippians 3, 10 through verse 14. The scripture says, that I may know him. That's the most important thing, knowing him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, I underline that, even were already perfect, but I follow after that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll use this thought that you put in my heart. I pray that it can be encouragement to everyone here. I pray, Father, that you would help me to speak well for you, that I could be a blessing to the hearers, not just in this building, but those that would even come over the airways through that the computer. And Father, I just pray that we could be an encouragement to all that would hear these words from the precious Word of God. Help us, Father, to get that approval from Lasco Foundation for the grant. Help us to raise that seed money. And Lord, just bless us and help us, Father, to go about your business with one heart to reach souls for Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I just want to give you some thought here. See if you've ever felt this way. Did you ever feel like you're in a rut? Ever felt like they're in a rut, man? You know, when you get in a rut, you're stuck and you just can't. It ever seems like you're in a rut. Nothing seems to get you going. Nothing seems to motivate you. You feel back. You feel bored with your life. You feel bored with your job. You feel bored with the church. You feel stagnant in your Christian life. How many ever felt like that? Man, just preacher. I'm just sorry. And the question is, preacher, what's wrong with me? Preacher, I just don't think I'm growing in the Lord. Preacher, my Christian life is no longer exciting life as it once was. You know, when you first got saved, how exciting? Then you get ups and downs, but sometimes it's not as exciting as it used to be. How many of you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like ho-hum. How many of you ever had ho-hum Christianity? How many know what I'm talking about? Preacher, my joy is not there any longer. Pastor, I don't even care if I'm in church. Preacher, I feel like I'm just going through the motions and that there really is no meaning in my life. Maybe if you feel that way or you felt that way or you're going to feel that way, I hope I can say something tonight and that maybe challenge you to give you victory over some of these thoughts. What's wrong? What's wrong? Well, every Christian goes through highs and lows. Every Christian goes through highs and lows. I have highs, I have lows. You're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. It's when we're in those times, in our life that we really need to search our soul. We need to really, when you're going through, look up here, when you're really going through a hard time, the Bible says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know God. I remember Dr. Hiles always said something to me. He said, never make a major decision when you're in a valley. Never make a major decision in your life when you're in a valley. Because most times people make decisions in a valley that they regret later. See, the best time to make a major decision is when you're on the mountaintop. Because, see, then you say, for instance, well, should I do this? Well, boy, I'm doing real good. Why should I do it now? You know, don't make no major decision when you're in a valley. How many can say amen? Let me give you a few things tonight to answer that question. Preacher, what's wrong with us? Number one, when we get down and we feel like everything's just not going well in our life, we're bored in the church, not feel like we're not growing, feel like we're stagnant, feel like, man, I'm just going through the motions. I'm in church just because I got to be there. And by the way, everyone has those days. And you go through, just like the Bible says, we have times in our life, there's seasons in our life. We have seasons like that. We really do. And you might be going through a tough season right now. And if you are, I hope I can encourage you. First, I wrote down five things here to help you if you're going through a tough season right now. Number one, first of all, preacher, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel like I'm stagnant in church? Why do I feel like I'm not growing as a Christian? Number one, we need to know something from verse 10. We need to know him. How many see that verse 10? When you are down in the dumps and you feel, oh, man, I'm not growing, the church is all dull home to me. Stop and don't blame it on the preacher and don't blame it on the deacons and don't blame it on the church members. Stop and just look in the mirror and say, Lord, where am I with you? Lord, where am I with you? Because I'm going to tell you, most of the time, 99% of the time, it's with me or it's with you. That I may know him. Because when I know him, the more I know him, you know, the brighter everything looks. A lot of times people come to church, they're looking for something to go wrong. They're looking for something bad. You know, why don't you come with a great attitude? But notice, and it says the power of his resurrection. How many see that in verse 10? You know what I need on my life and what you need on your life all the time? We don't have it all the time. But what we need in our life to really help our Christian lives, our Christian walk, we need an anointing. Now, I'm not talking about speaking in tongue, but we need the anointing of God on our lives. And I'm not talking about jibber-jabber. I'm talking about when God's presence is with us and that we have such an anointing that when we speak, people's heart tremble and God gives us wisdom what to say and everything we do, we're walking with God. His presence is with us and there's an anointing. There's an anointing. And many times we walk without that anointing of God. The Bible calls it fresh oil. Dr. Hiles used to preach a message. What you need is fresh oil, fresh oil, because it wears off. Because our walk with God gets away from God. And we need to keep that closeness and that freshness with God. And boy, when we lose that freshness, we lose a lot of the joy of what God's service is. Hello, are you still with me? Psalms 92:10 says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. King David said that. You know, they anointed him more than once to be king. We need fresh oil. Fresh oil. Number one, when you think you're just stagnant, stop and say, oh God, give me that fresh oil. Oh God, I'm lacking so much in my life right now, God. God, give me that fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. Oh, God, give me that fresh oil. I mean, get up by yourself. Get away and pray. Go out in the woods. Say, God, I got to have it. I got to have it. God, you've got to come down in my life. God, you've got to be in my life. Fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. But we need that anointing that only God can give, that fresh oil. And I'm going to tell you, start getting that fresh oil, church will be exciting again. Number two. By the way, Tammy, some of the girls sing a song. Bring back the new again. Where did it go? How did I lose the glow, I think it says, or something like that. I can't remember the words right now. But it talks about, see, how did I lose the glow? Where did it go? Let go. Because in our running and hustle and bustle, little bit by little bit, we get away from God. Especially now, you got the warmer days coming up, and people will study less, they'll pray less, and they'll get out in the, and I'm going to tell you, in summertime should be a time we should stay close to God. It'll help women keep their clothes on too. And men, for that matter. Number one, what's wrong with me, preacher? Number one, we need the power of the anointing of the fresh oil. Number two, we need to know that we have not arrived. A lot of times, we older Christians, we've studied the Bible, we've read through the Bible tons of times, we can quote scripture, and we think we've arrived. And look up here. I'm going to give you something. I don't care how you are in the Lord. I'll never arrive. We never will arrive. And here's what happens. Look up here, older Christians. We get complacent. Well, we think, well, I don't need to study like I used to. I know it already. Sunday school teachers. Well, I don't need to prepare for that lesson. 5 times. I could do it in my sleep. But see, we get complacent. How many are with me? And folks, I'm going to tell you, Satan uses that to discourage our life and get us away from God. And I'm going to tell you, look what Paul said. Are you still got Philippians open? Philippians 3? He said in verse 12, not as though I already... I'm going to tell you, the Apostle Paul wrote half the New Testament. If you count the book of Hebrews, and I think I did for him, I think he wrote it. Now, if you don't believe Apostle Paul wrote that book of Hebrews, you don't have to believe it. And when you get to heaven, he'll probably tell you he did. But look what he said, though. And by the way, he was out in the Arabian desert for 3 years. God personally, you know what Bible college he went to? He went to Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ Bible College. Jesus is the one that taught him. He said, come here, Paul, I got to get you away. You're causing too much trouble, man. Paul, you got a great zeal for God, but not without you, but without knowledge. That's the trouble we get. We get a zeal for God, but then we don't have knowledge with it. And then we cause ruckuses. I told you this story years ago, and it's the truth. God showed me. When I first got saved, because I came from such a rough area and rowdy life, I couldn't believe people didn't want to get saved. It's so wonderful being saved. I love being saved. I'm not, Brother Mike, I'm not going to hell. Man, I haven't been in a bar for over 30-some years, 40 years now probably. Hallelujah. I've not been in one bar fight. I ain't had one guy pull a knife on me. Ain't no glass cup. It's great not being broke up and beat up and slashed up, amen? And drunk up. I got saved, man, and whew, Bill, I just couldn't get over being saved, how exciting it was. So I go to all these guys that were just as wicked or more wicked than me and say, you guys got to get saved. And I start witnessing, they start laughing at me. And I said, you guys better listen to me. They wouldn't listen, boy. I got so mad at Allied Chemicals before I went to ministry. I just had been saved for about a few months. And I threw the tape over. I threw a chair against the wall. I said, all right, now you're all going to go to hell. And a Christian man, Brother Mike, came to me. And I walked out of the, you know, I walked out of the cafeteria. And I went and set my locker, and I just put my head down. He said, boy, I can tell you really care about people getting saved. But he said, I think you're doing it, you might be going about it wrong. And I said, you know, I'm doing something wrong because I'm not reaching them. And I was crying. I said, I want to reach them, but they just don't believe me. He said, well, why don't you come off to Bible college with me, and why don't you learn something? Maybe God will show you a little bit different way than the street way to reach people. I said, okay, I'm going to think about that. And then later, the Lord taught me some things, and a lot of those men who were the roughest, and they got saved. Some of them became members of our church at Lighthouse Baptist. But you know what? We We feel like we've arrived sometimes. You know what? Bobby, as great as you and June are, I think you're great godly Christians, and I really believe that with all my heart. You still need to keep growing. Every Christian here, when I was a little boy, my grandma used to have a little wall, and she'd mark how tall Richie was. And every year, you know, she'd mark it a little higher. How many of you ever did it when they were kids? Say, look, here you are now, Richie. Oh, look at this. And then, boy, last year you were, now look at this. And boy, she would have a scale there to show how I was growing. You know what the sad part is? In the Christian realm, we get to so high, and then we think we don't need to grow no more. By the way, I didn't quit growing. I quit growing this way, but man, I've still been going out this way. I've never stopped growing. Trust me, I'm 7'4". You just don't got all the rest of the stuff around me. We should never stop growing in our Christianity. And what happens is this. Many Christians say, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with what I am. I'm satisfied for what I've done. And when you get to that point where you're satisfied, you're already declining. You are taking steps away from God instead of going forward. So number one, we need fresh oil. Number two, we need to keep growing. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 teaches we should be growing all the time. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Just like that little babies, we used to give them a bottle, they kept growing. And that's what God wants us. He wants us ever to keep on taking milk, then meat. But he wants us to keep growing. And when our growth is stunted, that's when you get feeling, what's wrong with me? As long as you're growing, you're feeling pretty good. It's when you get stunted. And stunted growth is not good for any Christian. We need to be growing always. We should never be satisfied. Number three, we need to remember to study God's Word. That's vital for our growth. I want you to just look over in Timothy with me. Look at 2 Timothy. Look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Well, I'll do chapter two first, then we'll go to chapter 3. Look at 2:15 of Timothy. How many have got 2 Timothy? We're wondering why we're not growing. We wonder why we don't even care if we go to church. We wonder why it's all whole, why everything's so boring anymore. And what we wonder why everything's so lackluster is because we've quit growing. Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divine the word of truth. Word of study. Now, can I ask you something? Don't answer me. How much TV did you watch today? Don't tell me. How much did you read your Bible? You wonder what's wrong? You wonder why you feel you're not getting nothing in church. You know what? When you come read up and prayed up and readied up with God, I'm going to tell you, no matter who's speaking, the Holy Spirit will show you things in the Scripture because it'll come to you. I was preaching out something. One man told me that recently. I just read that the other day. Man, it came right alive to me. The reason a lot of times it's not who's speaking. It's us that's hearing. It's because we haven't prepared our ears and our hearts to take it in. How many are still with preacher? I'm telling you right now, we become stagnant. And we don't, I remember when I first got saved, oh my lands. I'd read the Bible 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. I would fall asleep reading my Bible. I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I'd listen to tapes. I'd listen to Christian radio. It's hard to listen to it now. There's not a whole lot. There's a few, but not a whole lot. But I'm telling you right now, I thirsted for the word. Today the kids are out playing and all the water was gone. I grabbed 14 of those 5-gallon jugs and went down to Clearwater, took Austin with me, and filled up 14 gallons of those 14 times 5 gallons. Plus I bought a new little dew jigger that broke, so I can just don't have to use a fork. You can have a regular handle on it. I always forget to ask the guy, and I thought about it today. Whole year going through it, and we've got it for next year at least. And when I got back, that first jug on, and the kids, one of the twins, there were several kids, men, boys and girls. I noted one of the twins. I think it was Abby, but I'm not sure. It could have been Bella. No, it wasn't Bella. No, it was either Brooke or Abby. It was one of the twins. And there was a bunch of other ones with her. And boy, the moment, boy, she got that cup, Mike. And I said, it won't be cold yet, honey, because we just put it on. So I don't care. I just want that water. They were so thirsty, they couldn't wait to get that water that quenched their thirst. They couldn't wait to get to the fountain. They just wanted anything from that fountain. You know, when you first saved, you couldn't wait to get anything from the fountain. We didn't care what part. We'll read me anything, teach me anything, show me anything. I don't care what it is, man. I love it all. Just give me anything. And what happens? We lose that hunger. We lose that thirst. We lose that desire. No wonder we feel like we do. No wonder we act like we do. No wonder we get so, well, what's wrong in this church? We're wrong. We need to search after and seek after and thirst for the Word of God. And most Christians don't even read the Word of God. I got to start preaching on the lot. We need to start reading the Word of God. Turn the old stupid TV off. Turn that computer off. And take some time and read the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, Psalms 119, by taking heed to the word thereto. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'll tell you why we got so much sinning. We have no reading. I'm talking about a fundamental church. Think about how much have we read this week? How much have we read last week? How much will you read tonight before you go to bed? How much will you read tomorrow? In comparison, the TV that you watch, which is, I think it's worthless, although I do have a TV, and I do watch sports, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know why they lose every time I watch them. It's the most losingest place I've ever seen, Bobby. Poor Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Browns. Now they're going to lose the greatest ball player they ever had, and the kid there, James. And this is, I used to think we might win before the rapture, but I don't know. Because I think that kid's leaving. I'll tell you one thing. This ain't leaving. And this is what's the most important for our life. You wonder, why don't I care about the missionaries? Why don't I cry anymore when I don't see people get saved? Why do I care if I don't even come to church anymore? I'll tell you, when you get those attitudes, how much have you read your Bible? Hello? See, we need that power of his resurrection. We need him in here. Oh, I know when you're saved, he's there forever. The scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit, that and when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. You're sealed until the day of redemption. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, walk with him the whole thing. Amen? Look at Timothy. I got to keep moving. 3, verse 15, 16, 17. And from a child thou hast known that the Holy Scripture are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures by inspiration is All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Anyone tells you this Bible is not inspired, don't listen to anything. Don't give them the time of day. This Bible is inspired. It's perfect. It's perfected. It's written by God, preserved by God. I'm not going to let anyone take my Bible from me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, why do we need a perfect Bible? Because that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We got to have it. By the way, you think a perfect God would not give you a perfect Bible? You think God can't preserve a Bible? Psalms 12, 6 and 7 says he preserved it forever. I'm going to tell you now, we need to remember to study God's word. Number four, we need to remember disobedience, not only our walk with God, it's our spirit for God. We need to remember that disobedience and sin not only hurts our walk with God and hinders our walk with God, but it stunts our spiritual growth for God. The scripture says in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of times, I know one reason why people don't grow in grace. They don't live separated lives. Let me show you something. God will show me things like this, D. He'll show me something, and he'll put a trial before me, or a test, and he'll want to see if I obey him. And if I obey him, I'll grow. If I obey him again, I'll grow. But here's the thing. A lot of times you wonder, how do some people get there and some people stay down here? They don't obey. They stay in disobedience. God speaks to us of different things in our lives. And I don't know what God spoke to you in your different of your lives. But every one of you knows what God does in your life. He speaks to you about certain things in your personal lives. And if you say, it might be watching a certain program. It might be going somewhere. It might be something you wear. I don't know. I'm not, you know, whatever God, whatever, you know what it is. And if you say, no, God, I don't care what you say. God, I don't care. Well, that just shot it. Disobedient people to God do not grow. Even in baptism, I'm telling some people now that I know there's some people that were saved and they haven't been baptized. Like Sunday morning, I put a plea out. You need to get baptized. You're saved. That's disobedience. Once you get saved, you should be baptized. That person's not going to grow until they do. Anything that God tells us that he's point blank, this is what you should do, and we defy and don't do it. You mark her down. You're not going up the ladder. You mark her down. You'll be looking at the church saying, man, I wish I wasn't even here. You'll be wondering, boy, that preacher, I'm not getting fed at all. Hello? The reason you ain't getting fed, you don't have the feed bag on. The feed. You've left the stall. Where all the oats are in for you. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now. I think Christians live shallow lives. And I think because Christians live shallow lives, we have Christians that don't have very much spiritual growth. People that sell out to God are the ones that go forward. Separation. Obedience. You wonder what, God, preacher, what's wrong with me? I said, number one, we need an anointing. Preacher, what's wrong with me? I said, number two, we need to realize that we need to continually grow. We're not perfected yet. Preacher, what's wrong with me? I said, number three, we need to remember to study God's word. Number four, I said, preacher, what's wrong with me? I said, we need to remember disobedience and sin. Well, not only hurt our walk with God, but it stunts our spiritual growth. You never see people out that walks in the world close to God. They might come and put on a show at the church, but they're false. You can tell people when they walk with God. You can tell people when they walk. You can sense the presence. That's why the Bible says in Acts that they took note that they've been with Jesus. You can sense when people are with God. You can sense it. They don't have to say a word to you. You don't have to put a little placard under things that I read my Bible 5 hours a day or I read my Bible to. People will know it. Trouble is we don't. We get so caught up with the world. The world's got more of us than the creator of the world. Monty, I said, look at that sunset. Man, we saw that Monday, Bobby. Man, we saw a beautiful sunset. We even actually had one in Northeast Ohio. I know, but I saw it. I was out in the middle of Lake Erie, and I actually saw the sun go down. I said, man, Monty said, yeah. Because we were witness that the boy, the captain, and he said, yeah, the creator made that sun. I said, I know, he's alive too. I talked to him today. We need to talk to him more, don't we? Then lastly, by the way, John 15:3 says, now you are clean through the word. That word, if we're studying the word, we'll be more obedient to when he asks us to do things. Then lastly, only because it's time's run out. Number five, we need to remember that soul winning brings us closer to God and brings joy. I want you to read two scriptures with me. Just turn to Luke 15:7. I'm going to quote you. I want you to look at Luke 15:7, and then I'm going to read to you John 15:5. I'm going to close with John, but look at Luke 15. See, the closest thing to God's heart is souls. That's why I made a big fuss over Dr. Anderson. He cared about souls being saved. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, for the Lord is not slack concerning us, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God doesn't want one soul to go to hell. Not one. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Look at Luke 15:7. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look at verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You ever notice something? When people get saved, there's joy. How many have ever led someone to Christ? The joy of bringing someone to Christ, I can't describe it. Other than it's one of the most greatest joys that I've ever known in my life. It's literally seeing someone come to know Christ as their Savior. It's a joy unspeakable. I guess I go. And I want you to look at something. Look at John chapter 15. I'm going to close. And we'll tie it all together. John 15. Well, preacher, I'm not growing. Well, you got God's anointing on you? Are you striving to grow in grace? Are you studying His Word? Are you trying to keep you separated from sin? Are you trying to win souls to Christ? Look at John 15, verse 5. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, that's why we got to have them. That's why everything's so gloomy. You don't got the word in you. That really is it too, Brother Mike. Ye shall ask what ye will, it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that ye be my disciples. God says, I want you to bear a lot of fruit. But I want you to look at verse 11. And I'll close. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You ever saw people that are discouraged and disgruntled? And they're saying, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. Your messages don't do nothing for me no more, and church don't do nothing more. The songs Mark picks out, they stink. They don't, Brother Mark. I love them. Choir, off tune. Those solos are... Everything's bad. I don't even know why I'm here. You're lucky you are here. If you got any brains, you'll stay here. It's because you're just like your bone gets out of joint, out of socket, you're out of socket. But notice, did you ever notice someone says, I've lost my joy? Church, it's just not exciting like it used to be. They quit trying to grow. They quit reading their Bible. They quit trying to be separated. Are you still with me? And they quit trying to bring people to Christ. Brother Phil, the scripture teaches people that bring people to Christ are happy. Remember I read that over in Luke? Remember we read Luke 15:7? What was going on in heaven when people got saved? Joy. Was there joy? When people got saved, Luke 15:7 and also 10, what was the word that was going on in heaven? Joy. Now look at John 15. And look at verse 11. When people get saved, now is there joy in heaven, but there's joy on earth. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Why? Because you're bearing fruit. When you bear fruit, I'm telling you right now. Sue Vance was in the hospital last week. She had to have a test on her. But while she was sitting there, she told a boy about Christ, led him to Christ. She got so excited, she called me and said, Preacher, I just led a boy to Christ. I don't have a pen on me. Write his name down. She was all excited. I did write his name down. Brandon was his name. We prayed for him. Because, see, you know what? Look up here. And that's why we're sad sacks. When's the last time we really went and led someone to Christ? Come on. Come on. You wonder, what's wrong with me, preacher? I'll tell you what's wrong. We're lacking the joy from winning souls because we're not winning them. It's quiet in here, isn't it? Are we all thinking? Don't blame God. God will give us the joy. We just got to do what he tells us. Amen? So when you think you're not growing, by the way, you start soul winning, you'll start growing. Your spiritual thermometer is going to start going up. You say, I don't know what to say. Read the Bible. And as you speak, the Holy Spirit will put words in your mouth. Because he knows what to say. Amen? We just got to get closer to him. And instead of having the world having control of us, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I want to yield to you. When we yield to him, You'd be amazed what he does through us for God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had. I know we live in a world of trials and a lot of stress, a lot of pressure on Christians today. Lord, if we don't get in your book, we don't study it, and we don't let the word bring us up above, and we don't have a passion to win souls, there's going to be a lot of people say, man, church is just a bore to me. I don't even know why I go to church. It's not even worth going. It's because we haven't even got our life in tune with you. Help us. Help us, Father. Help us to see something tonight that we need a closer walk with you. Oh God, help us to turn off that Facebook and the TV and all the other stuff that takes our time, that really doesn't bring glory to God at all. Lord, I really believe that computer does not bring glory to you. The TV doesn't either. Lord, I just pray with all my heart that we would find ourselves at the foot of at the cross and at your knee, at the knee of you, Father, seeking you and trying to learn of you and to know you better and to know the power of God and the power of the resurrection of Christ, that we might know you well, that we might have a flowing of you in us, and when we meet people, they would sense that we've been with you, that we could bring people to the saving grace of Christ, that we might know that kind of joy. Lord, I know what's wrong with people. They don't have that joy because they're not out really. They're not really trying to win. They don't know the joy because they don't win the people to Christ. I lack it because I don't win the people to Christ. Give us that joy and raise us up to serve you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder tonight, maybe you'd say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. God spoke to my heart tonight. I've really been down in the gutter lately. Preacher, I wonder what's wrong with me. Spoke to my heart tonight. Pray for me. God bless you. Bless you. Heavenly Father, help us to seek your face and to know you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you want to come and pray, you come. Whatever way you'd like to do, you come.